Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. This program, we are recording on my birthday, and we're going to do something. I'm with my wife, Carrie. Hi, dear. It's Faith and Family Friday, and I've got a gift for you. Well, not just for you, Carrie. I mean, for those folks that are listening. In Italy, I had the beautiful gift of spending a few years in Italy doing graduate school. And one of the things I discovered in Italy is that on your birthday, you didn't receive gifts. On your birthday, you gave gifts. Did you know that?
No, I've heard people give gifts to their mom on their birthday because the mom birthed them.
Oh,
like you send flowers.
How's that different than Mother's Day?
Well, actually, it's true, but I think it's just really acknowledging that mom was the one that did all the hard work to bring you into the world.
Hello?
What did you do?
Well, all right. I surrender.
Not even.
I surrender. Let's get back on to the phone. All right, folks, that's called stumbling into a landmine right there. That was not a very... All right. I didn't think it was that funny, dear. All right.
How you defend, like how you're going to...
All right. I'm done. I surrender. Folks, learn to surrender, right? That's a real key gift in marriage.
No. That's surrender when you know you have no victory.
All right, I surrender. I'm surrendering even my conversation about surrendering. That's where I'm at. It's a meta surrender, all right? Okay. Today I have a gift. I have a gift for you during the program, and it's the 4Ds, the 4D gift. And what are the 4Ds? I'll tell you when we come back, but it is meant to help you, brothers and sisters, in the faith, walking together as disciples of Jesus. How do we go further? How do we accomplish something great for God with our own lives in this world, in the one life that we get to live? I've got 4Ds to help you get there, and we'll talk about those today. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. So let's begin with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you. And I thank you, Father, for the gift of life. I thank you for the gift of my life. And Lord, for the mystery of the plan that you are unfolding in my life and in my marriage to Carrie and in our family. And Lord, just planting us in this world in this moment. I just thank you that you have in your mysterious design willed for us to be here now and to live well, but to glorify you. Lord, what an astonishing gift that you've given to us, the privilege of being alive, of knowing you, and of sharing in your eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for that. And we make this prayer, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Amen. And the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so Carrie, I mentioned the 4Ds. So as being a disciple of Jesus, that's being a follower of Jesus. I think we always don't feel like we are accomplishing what the Lord has for us. I make it super simple. Called to be saints, called to fulfill the one mission, the reason for which he planted us here on earth. We do that by fulfilling the duties in our state in life. But as we look around, we can say, wait a minute, why am I falling short? Why am I settling for less? Why am I not seeing more fruit, either in my own spiritual life or in the spiritual life of my marriage or of my family, and then even just us being salt, light, and leaven in the world, bringing the gospel, bringing the light and face of Christ out into the world. What holds us back, and what do we do about it? I have made that a really important point of focus in my life for the past over a year now. And really, I think it's the fruit of the Camino and walking that Camino and the process that we went through before that. I'm not going to rehash all of that, but I want to synthesize it down into four words. And these four words I share with you today as my gift to you to try to summarize what, in fact, the Lord has been doing in my life and in our lives, Carrie. And in a certain sense, it's these four words are really building around what I feel is a stewardship at this moment in my life, which is about writing these books to get the word out, if you will, to share the word in a way that so many others can benefit from. So the four D's, Carrie, are you excited?
I'm so excited.
Oh, yes. But this is going to be authentic conversation that I know is going to involve you because you've been part of all four of these in your own journey of faith and in our journey of faith as a couple and in this past year. So the four words are disruption. That's the first word. And then after that, it's desire, desperation, and dynamism. And those three words, desire, desperation, and dynamism, are very much fundamentally connected to the dimension of being a disciple, where we feel have this call from God. And that's where we'll talk about desire, where we experience powerlessness. That's where we'll talk about desperation. And then where we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's where we'll talk about dynamism. And so that's really going to be the map out of the program. So in the course of the program, we'll just take a look at those four concepts, the disruption, then we'll talk about desire, desperation, and dynamism. So starting with disruption, this is where we kind of come to the realization that, wait a minute, things aren't going the way that I think they ought to be going. It's sort of the... You keep using that word, the princess bride. I don't think it means what you think it means. And for me, it is when we have a kind of discontent, let's call it kind of a holy discontent, where, you know what, I'm not bearing as much fruit in my spiritual life as I ought to. Or even at a more human level, wait a minute, why am I so fat? There you go. That's a very concrete way of putting it.
So I think the disruption could be, like a brokenness. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a sin. But I'm thinking more for our generation, it's a financial or a medical or a relational disruption where there's something off with your children or a child or the spouse. And so there's such a brokenness and pain. So I think
you're jumping ahead to desperation.
Oh. Yes. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. We'll get there eventually, okay. Carrie. I don't want to start with desperation.
So desperate. Okay.
A disruption is that spiritual deflation, right? So remember, we're going to church. We believe what the church teaches. We're trying to live the moral life.
But is this it?
But
is this all?
Why are we not having a bigger impact?
Yeah. Okay.
Why are our kids walking away from the faith? I'm not saying our kids are, but why are our kids walking away from the faith? Why is the church not having a bigger impact in America? Why are people so quickly, like, why are eight Catholics leaving the faith for every one Catholic joining the faith? Why are our churches becoming empty? Or, like, for instance, you just gave the example of going to encounter and meeting so many Catholics who had enough oomph to say, I want to come to this event, and yet seem to be...
Sorry, it's not an event. It is a 9-month
school.
Class.
It's a school.
I am back in school until 9 o'clock at night. Thank God for the snacks to keep me awake.
But you just to say, it's they're there in a certain sense because of a disruption. They want to disrupt.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I'm living my life of faith, but is that all there is?
I think that's it for most people. Is this it? There must be more. I'm coming to this season in my life, or this season meaning a stage in my life where is this as good as it gets?
Yeah. Should we expect anything more from God? And is God expecting anything more from us?
Ooh.
Right. C.S. Lewis talks about domesticating God. We've domesticated God. Well, God is not someone who is bigger than we are, overwhelming to us, but we can keep God in this little box where we're doing better than most people.
I think that's often what we fall into. We go to church and even during the week and we do the sacramentals And our kids seem to be living a pretty nice life as far as they're not way, 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 wayward. That's so interesting. I never, and then I just don't live from that place. Like I don't get, I'm never too comfortable. I'm like, what's next? There has to be more.
Well, and that's a beautiful gift I think God's given you. And it, but it's just one of those things where, wait a minute, how do we disrupt what's going on? And here's the thing. It's like, if you're not actively striving to swim upstream, you're just going to float downstream.
Excellent.
And we're swimming against some strong tides. And I think that it's the two things that have come into focus for me in the last months. One is the level of comfort that our material prosperity has given to us, where we can basically ignore or avoid the painful difficulties that would mean courageous, vigorous, rigorous pushing back and generous pushing back against the culture and standing up for Christ in the culture. And instead it's, let me just enjoy the comforts and the softness and the ease.
You know what that is, Tom?
What's that?
That's Idaho living.
Yeah, that you're talking about sort of hunkering down. Yeah.
I experienced this in Washington.
Well, yeah, but it's so that's one. And then the second is the smartphone and with it, the screen time, that level of addiction to phones has only worsened this sense of dissipatio, right? That St. John of the Cross. And we need disruption. We need to disrupt the mediocrity of living a life that is not magnanimous, that isn't striving to do something great for God. It's that whole famous Pope Benedict quote, you're made for greatness. You're not made for little, you're made for greatness, right? You're not made for little things. And however the rest of the quote goes. Whatever.
I
love it.
That's how I quote stuff. Yeah, no, that's
good. Well, whatever. Let me just quote, thus says the Pope, thus says some Pope, or the scripture Jesus says, right? But we're, and I know that exists in guys, right? That's that, you know, the feminine Jesus, the masculine, is that sense of I desire to truly give myself over to something that is worthy and noble and heroic, right? That's what lives inside of guys. So how do we disrupt, how do we experience this gracious disruption of the lives we're living? So that's the first thing, brothers and sisters, if that's you, that's my first gift to you on my birthday, is this sense of holy discontent and the desire to disrupt. I, Lord, please, I beg you for the grace to disrupt the life I'm living in order to have me accomplish the fundamental purpose for you creating me and planning me in this moment. Lord, please disrupt my life. And that for me was the Camino. It disrupted my lack of exercise. It disrupted my lack of quiet time. It disrupted my lack of contemplative prayer. It disrupted my easy access to comfortable food. It introduced into my life a strong call to penance. It disrupted so many things by not just going on the Camino, but by preparing to go on the Camino. And it was such a gift. So now, and everybody can't go on the Camino, but everybody can experience a disruption. So that's my first birthday gift to you all, is search your heart, try to sense the holy discontentment, the discontentment with the life that you're living in faith, and turn to the Lord and ask him for the gracious disruption of the life that you're living. Carrie, any final comments on that before we go to a break? Because I want to get to the three words, the desire, the desperation, and the dynamism, because those are going to be the three fundamental ways that the disruption is going to happen.
I think it's a great place to start. That just basic spiritual disruption, everything doesn't seem as it appears.
Yeah, that God is not a domesticated God. All right, we'll be back in a minute and we'll dive in with our first word. Welcome back to the program. So today, we're recording this on my birthday, which was yesterday, and offering you a gift on, I'm doing the Italian thing, that I'm giving you a gift. And so my gift to you is reflecting on four D's that frankly will change your life as a disciple, that these are different paths that our tradition has put forward to us. And I'm striving to live right now. I'm putting them in the form of books, but right now I'm putting them into one program to share with you as a hope. My hope and goal is that this will be, in fact, a gift for your life today. So gracious disruption, Lord, we want you to graciously disrupt our lives. And Lord, how will you do that? Well, one of my books is on the dynamism of being a disciple, these three moments of discipleship. And the three moments are the moment of sensing a call from God, experiencing the powerlessness in fulfilling that call, and then being empowered to fulfill the call. And what I've discovered in my own journey, and I'm going to map all this out in a book, not to talk about today, is that so many programs and initiatives and books that talk about discipleship don't map it out in this very simple, gospel-centered, traditional way, that somehow we're missing, often, most of all, the middle moment, that moment of holy desperation, of praiseworthy desperation. And we want to focus on the call or focus on the empowerment. And those things are important, but we're going to cover all three. So let's start with the desire. So desire is, this goes all the way back to the scriptures, and especially St. Augustine is this amazing theologian who talks all about the ache in the human heart, the restlessness in the human heart. And I have mapped that out, and I'm going to talk about it in the book, but for today, just to say this, that this is Pope Benedict and John Paul II. It's the gift message. It's the encounter with Christ, that one of the things that you can desire and you can pursue in prayer, and I'm going to share with you now how I've done that, how Carrie, you and I have experienced that, is that everything changes in your life when you've had a trajectory-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. The path that your life is on is no longer that path. Now, Christ means everything to me. And that's something that if you haven't had, you can desire. And if you've had glimpses of it or tastes of it, you can launch from that into a big expression of desire to have an even more profound encounter with Jesus. So does that make sense, Carrie?
Yeah, I think it's important to note that these moments or this main moment is unforgettable. It literally from the inside out changes you.
Yeah. And so, people will constantly go back to it, right? So if I said to you, do you know that moment in the life of Mary Grace? Do you remember what it was? It was Steubenville, Northwest, and it was during adoration.
Yes.
And she didn't seek it. It found her. Christ found her in that time of adoration, that as she was gazing upon the Blessed Sacrament, and moving around. What's the word? I was going to say parading, but it wasn't parading. They were processing with the Blessed Sacrament. And she had this, there was a breakthrough. It was an event that Pope Benedict talks about. Jesus broke into her life.
And we pray this for all our kids. And I feel like we can point to a time like Mary Grace where this has happened, or we know it has not happened in some of our kids.
Well, and the funny thing is that Ariana said this to us. I don't know if it was in the car. You weren't there. She was like, why didn't you tell us about a personal relationship with Jesus? And the right answer was, we were telling you all about it for years, praying, pointing.
Because we're Catholic. That's not how we talk about it.
Well, and it was, no, but the point was that it was when she experienced it that it became real for her. In a way that was unforgettable. And then it was like looking back on us saying the words to her about it seemed flat. It was almost like those words didn't stick. But it was only after it had happened for her that everything changed. And now that's kind of shined a light back on her life, saying, wait a minute, for so many years, I was growing up in a Catholic home, doing Catholic stuff, going to Catholic events, praying Catholic prayers, going to adoration, all of this stuff. But it, without the breakthrough, without that encounter, her life wasn't this, it was flat. And what our tradition points to is this holy, passionate desire for the Lord, where I'm empty without you, Lord, and I'm seeking you, Jesus. And that's something that again, we as Catholics have not heard in a simple, clean, crisp way. And when you get it, you get it. For me, it was, I've shared it how many times on the radio, the encounter with Christ in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus, if you're there, reveal yourself to me, show yourself to me. I think that's a prayer that you can pray, brothers and sisters. If you're not confident, you're wondering whether you've had that breakthrough encounter with Christ that Pope Benedict, John Paul II, they teach about and talk about. You go before the Lord and you say, Jesus, if you're really there, please, I beg you, show yourself to me. Make yourself real to me. You can even hear the desire in my heart. That's that prayer of desire. Make sense to you, Carrie?
Yeah, and I think sometimes what brings people to that prayer is some kind of disruption, not desperation yet, but a disruption of, is this all there is? There's an ache, there's an emptiness, there's a sense of sadness over, I feel alone. I'm listening to a podcast by a neuroscientist, one of the top podcasts in the country, and her whole thing on dopamine and feeling sad.
Yeah, she wrote the book Dopamine Nation, but then listening to her talk,
it's just like so depressing. I thought, this is all you live for? This is all you have? That she doesn't even feel comfortable in her own skin, that she has this general sense of sadness, that she can't be just present. And it's like, wow. And I feel, I've been sharing with you, Tom, how I feel like a gluttonous soul, fat soul, that I've received the Lord so many different times in so many ways. I will be held so accountable that it's like, oh no, I don't realize, or I take for granted the encounters. And my encounter was when I was in seventh grade. I know the exact moment in my bedroom by myself. I lit a candle and just this breakthrough of God's love in my heart just changed me forever. And that happened multiple times after that where, and I think it's happened to me multiple times in confession where I just beg God for his, just a desire to be sorrowful and to be contrite over my sins. And then the Lord meets me. And so it's not just one and done, but there is that first encounter that just changes everything.
And the interesting thing about this, and I'm gonna break this open in a lot more detail in my book, where I go through it, these moments of
time. Wait, you're writing a book?
One of my books on these three moments of discipleship.
Did you hear that? How many husbands out there go, oh,
groaning over their wives with their little snarky comments? Show me the output.
On the radio show. I have to tell
keep
you, there's going to be some exposure here.
Keep it real. Yeah, I haven't actually put pen to paper yet, but I got a lot of notes. All right. But the reality is that you might be listening to this thinking, this is Protestant. This is about accepting Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. And I said, no, that's it's not about accepting Jesus for the first time. It's about having him break through in a new way. And when he breaks through in that new way, it's not like, oh, he hasn't broken through before, but it'll shine a light back on your life to realize, oh, wow, Lord, you were with me as I was receiving communion and as a young person, as I was praying in those times, but I wasn't aware of it in the way that I'm aware of it now. And so if that doesn't make sense to you, then just please pray. Pray, Lord, I want another prayer that I love to help with this is, Jesus, who am I to you? Jesus, who am I to you? That's the gift message prayer. It's St. Paul, Pope Paul VI. Look me in the eyes, Jesus. Who am I to you, Jesus? Please reveal to me, who am I to you? Not, Lord, what is your will for me? Or Lord, here's what I want you to do for me. And those are authentic prayers. But we want that. This is about the getting the encounter. This is about filling the heart. This is about the radical breakthrough. And you can say, Lord, give me the Simon Peter breakthrough. Lord, come into my boat and do an amazing catch. Lord, give me the Matthew breakthrough. I'm at the tax collector's desk. I'm at my life. Break in and show up in my workplace, Lord. The Paul and Saul. Lord, knock me off my horse. Please, whatever you need to do, break into my life. That's a prayer of desire. And pray that kind of bold prayer, brothers and sisters, and you'll get a big outcome. It's you corresponding to what the Lord wants from you. This is not somehow a rash prayer. This is the Lord saying, take the risk of asking something big from me Let me get away from being this domesticated God that's in a little box. I've got big stuff for you, and I'm big, and I want to reveal how big I am to you. Let me break in, and you will have a trajectory-changing encounter that will lead you to have a whole different horizon for what's important in your life. That's what will happen. It will shake your core values. It'll shake the vision of what you want for your life. Say that prayer.
Okay, so you say the prayer, this has happened, but let's say you go through your faith life for 10 years or 20 years, and you know that you've kind of gotten more, what we'd say, lukewarm, just comfortable. Can you pray that prayer again?
Absolutely. Yes, thank you, dear. I like how you did. That was a set. That was like in volleyball.
Okay, let's see you slam it.
You just set me up for a kill. Boom, here we go. Boom. Yeah, so this is in our tradition. You don't leave the beginning behind. The beginning gets integrated into the journey.
What does that mean?
What that means is that prayer that I prayed back when I was 18 years old, I prayed when I was 18 and a half and 19 and 19 and a half and 20 and 21 and 22. And I pray it now as a 61-year-old. I'm still praying that prayer because I'm not done with the breakthroughs. I'm not done with the Lord breaking into my life in a new way. Like, look, the disruption that happened, the crustiness that came on my life through just the journey of my life, it needs to constantly be cleansed. It needs to be constantly refined.
I think the first encounter is the most powerful because it's the first time I've surrendered and given over and said, Lord, you are Lord of my life. However, that encounter is so life-changing that I continue to pray that in moments of just deep desire for the Lord to continue to go deeper and break open. And it is powerful. It is, talk about self-knowledge, talk about understanding how the Lord sees me and just truth, identity of who I am and who I am and whose I am. I say that silly line, but it is true. That it sets us on a firm foundation.
Yeah. And just to say this, it's not a one and done. You keep doing it. You do it like the widow that is pestering the unjust judge. You do it like the neighbor who comes at midnight and knocks on the neighbor's door. Jesus, when he's saying, knock, ask, and seek, it's not do it once, and if nothing happens, you're all done. No, you persist, right? In our tradition, this is vigilance. You vigil. It's St. Philip Neri who vigiled. And that Holy Spirit came as fire into him, but he vigiled. He kept knocking, asking, seeking, praying. So do those big prayers. Desire. It's that prayer of desire. Lord, please, I will not stop until you come. And so there's my first gift, my second gift. My first one was pray for disruption. The second is pray from that place of desire that you will come to discover the gift you are in the eyes of the Lord and the gift he intends you to be in this world. All right, up against a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the next word, which is a lot harder, and that's the word desperation. Well, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Kernan with my wife, Carrie. Carrie, it's my birthday today. Well, you're listening the day after, and here we go, Carrie. You're shaking your head. It's okay that people know we're recording the program. And so... What are you laughing?
I think I have a hard enough time just living day to day and then throwing in all the other, it's like, wait,
little
what?
Modifiers.
What is it? What's going on?
All right.
That's funny.
So I'm giving you a gift on my birthday, and that gift is sharing four D words. The first was disruption. That Lord, just disrupt our lives so that we can be broken free from the things that hold us back from achieving the heights of holiness, the greatness you intend for our lives. And there are three ways of doing that. And those are the three moments of discipleship. The first word is desire, which we just talked about. And that's where that holy desire, where we're created by God for God in relationship to the Lord. And we long for that relationship. And so we pray, Lord, please break in, break open, come through, Lord, and give us a trajectory changing encounter with you, Jesus. So you become our everything. For me, life means Christ. So that's desire. The second word is that second moment in discipleship. Remember, you hear that call where the Lord breaks in, like in the life of Peter, and now you're going to follow him fully. Well, when you follow the Lord, you hear the call of discipleship, which has two first concepts. If you want to be my disciple, number one, deny yourself or die to yourself and pick up your cross. And that, you know, you want to get followers? Not good marketing program. That is not, you know, hey, come on, you want to follow me? Deny yourself, die to yourself. A seed's going to die and be buried. And you lose your life and abandon your life to my purposes. Oh, and by the way, pick up your cross daily, every day. Pick up your cross. That which is going to crucify you, embrace it.
However, just to put this all in context, whoever wishes to be my disciple, there is an awakening. There is a, when the Lord came, when Jesus came on the earth and lived his life, people were awakened to something so much more beautiful and holier and freedom, joy, peace. And it's all worth it, right?
Amen. You're bringing up such a powerful point. And the powerful point is that it's the kingdom of God that's at hand, that's breaking into your life. That's the realm where the Lord is reigning and ruling over you. And the Father's shocking generosity wants to bless you. And you get to be elevated to be his children and live in that new life where you get to experience love and truth and joy and peace.
I mean, you're going from someone who was just in darkness and sadness and weighted down, and there's no hope. Just hearing
no healing, no mercy, broken.
People share about their, I don't know, just different people I've listened to. It's just like, wow, they have little hope. What a sad way to go through life. And never just no joy, like not happiness, not fun, but real joy that just quenches every deepest desire because you know the Lord knows you and the creator of all is your king. It's just, how could you not want to deny yourself,
right,
and follow him?
Because it's hard. And you know, that sounds so pitiable, right? So poor, so weak, how weak we are, where I think this is the sadness, is we settle for mediocrity. We just settle for, you know what, I've tasted some of the good things of the Lord, and that's great. But I don't know if I want to go so all in where I'm going to be following the Lord on the path of his passion, and I'm going to join in his redemptive work, which means that I have to be crucified with Christ. That part, you know what? Can I just stay on the gift side? Can I just stay on the side of just like lavishing the love of the Lord and letting him love me rather than saying, well, now I've got to extend myself, stretch myself, do a hard, difficult good? That's something that we avoid. And whether or not, you know, it's just a, this is not just an abstract conversation. No, this is sadly the real state of the matter for far too many of us, from just a pure statistical standpoint, which I talk about quite a bit, that we're not doing a good job as a church being salt, light, and leaven in the world. And to go back to John of the Cross, it's the spiritual deflation where we settle for the comfort and the attachments to the desires that keep us locked into this world rather than pursuing the Lord in holiness. And so one of the ways that the Lord will lovingly, mercifully draw us to himself is through suffering, through those pain points, through those trials and tribulations that reach our lives, where we discover our powerlessness, where we utterly have, we're not in control, we don't have a simple solution, and it's really, it can be terrifying. It is crucifying. And thank you, Lord, for that gift, right? Thank you, Lord, for that gift of being desperate, desperate in a holy way, desperate in a way that turns us to God. And that's something that I'm not saying to pray for that type of desperation to reach your life, but I am saying that the Lord does bring us into situations that involve trials and difficulties, personal, relational, familial, that will make us have to choose whether we're willing to engage and engage in a way that will involve real suffering. And you know, we've experienced that, Carrie. When we think about the arc of our 31 years of being married, we were just talking about it before the program, that one of the greatest gifts God gave us was the greatest trial and suffering that God gave us. And in the middle of it wasn't experienced as a gift. Yeah. Anything you want to say about that, dear? You're just like stunned into silence. Like, really, is this what we're talking about? I think that it's one of those things where we pray to avoid suffering. We pray to avoid trials. We pray to be protected from difficulties. And in doing that, we're missing out on one of the ways that the Lord cleanses, purifies, and breaks us free from limitations and brokennesses that are holding us back.
And so how does the Lord, in the midst of relational conflict, purify us?
Yeah. So it number one, humbles me. So he's purifying me of pride. He's purifying me of self-control. He's purifying me of arrogance.
Self-control would be?
Or control, that I have control, okay. Not self-control, but he's purifying me of that sense that I have control over an outcome. Okay. This is in my hands. I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to conquer it.
I'm going to work it. I'm going to read the books. I'm going to get the help I need, and we're going to fix it. Obviously, in medical conditions, not everyone is healed. Not everyone has a path forward. I think that's where when they call it a crisis, it really feels like you're saying goodbye to a dream. I think in our situation, with our daughter, there's a lot of dying to our dreams and our hopes for our future, or for her future. And so, and even in when you have medical crises, it's like, oh, we're no longer able to live out. So it's so important to say, my dreams, my desires, Lord, purify them, that they give you glory, that they're for your kingdom, that they're for eternity, not here, pleasure on earth and life here on earth. And I just think it's really easy to be living an earthly life and enjoying life here and realize that God has so much more. Even though there's pain, even though there's going to be suffering, it's going to purify us and give us such a greater depth of soul.
I don't know if you remember this, but early on when our daughter was rebelling, I can remember talking to, they really weren't close friends of ours. They weren't really like very involved in faith. And they were really questioning, like, why are you making such a big deal out of this? This is just a typical teenage rebellion. Well, you know, let them sow their wild oats. If she's going to do the typical things that a lot of fallen teenagers are doing in terms of drinking and carousing and relationships and all that sort of stuff, just sort of let her get through it. Why do you want to press in, put up a hedge of defense and a wall of resistance and say, this is not accepted or acceptable? This won't stand. And we are going to pursue, and we're going to put up a boundary, and we're going to hold you accountable for this. It would have been so much easier to just say, well, it's a pancake. That's one of those pancakes that didn't turn out okay.
Girls and will be girls.
It'll
boys
be fine.
Will be boys.
It'll be right. Can you imagine? Like, there are so many families who simply will say, well, what are you going to do? And this was the mystery of the harder we pushed in, and how messy that was for us, and how challenging that was for us because of our broken, the way that we thought would work, the way that was working with regards to our other kids in terms of our parenting them and style and discipline, it wasn't working here.
Well, honestly, when darkness and sin comes into the realm, into our midst, and it could be our own or others, there's something about when one sins, it reverberates and other stuff starts to show up and
gets exposed.
Well, and I think that's what marriage is. Marriage is, yes, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you, but it is a fire. There's purification. There's surrender. There's why do I treat you who I love and give and want to honor with all my heart, treat you the worst because you are the closest
to
me.
Why do you hurt me so much?
How do we hurt those that are closest to us?
Yeah.
And so there is a way in which when we sin, when that darkness comes in, it exposes the other weakness.
It's mysterious, right? But it's like, okay, when we got married, I know that I had this beautiful, like very exalted vision that somehow by being married to you, I'm going to become a saint.
And that's true. We should have that. We should hope for that.
I know, but
even though it's not
how
me.
How do you become a saint? You got to go through the cross. You got to go through the cross. You got to be crucified, right? You got to crucify the desires of the flesh. Colossians, right? It's I'm crucified with Christ. Where is that going to happen? It's not just going to happen when I leave the door, wave bye to you, go out into the world and fight the spiritual battles. No, it's going to happen in the midst of the most intimate, personal, profound relationship. It's where you and I are called to become one, and where we struggle and fail and fall short because of your sin. Our sin, our brokenness, our shortcomings. Of course, it's going to be iron sharpening iron, but boy, that clash of iron, it sends sparks. It chips the these different iron swords, right? It is not. It's crucifying. And why do we expect less?
Well, because when we fall in love, we're like near perfect. we're near perfect in love. Everything is great. Everything is wonderful. And those parts of our heart were that it's exposed over time, and then all of a sudden, or not all of a sudden, our failures and our weaknesses show up, and it's like, what do you do with that? You have two people that are,
and the answer is, you go before the Lord on your knees and you cry out in desperation.
Ask the Holy Spirit,
and you keep asking, and you just keep saying, Lord, I've got nothing. Lord, I've got nothing. You
through my lack of seeing. Break through my heart. And
brothers and sisters, it's 2 Corinthians. If you think that this is not from God, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 12. It is all about St. Paul, who is elevated in ecstasy to the third heavens, has a thorn in the flesh. And literally an angel of Satan sent to beat him. And this is such a pain, this thorn in the flesh. You think of a thorn in the flesh. It is such a pain that he cries out to the Lord three times, Lord, please relieve me of this thorn. And what does the Lord respond? My grace is sufficient for you. For power reaches perfection in powerlessness. And so St. Paul willingly rejoices and is grateful for the sufferings and the trials and the difficulties. For when I am powerless, it is then that I am strong. Take that passage and make it your own, brothers and sisters. You do cry out to the Lord, please relieve me, release me. Free me, free us, free our kid, free us from this circumstance, this situation. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, it is so humbling. It is so humbling that you don't have life in order. You can't control everything. It doesn't just work out the way you want. You have to humbly put yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in his time, he will raise you up. That's my gift to you today. Do not flee the cross. Do not flee self-denial. Do not flee dying to self, but realize that it's Jesus coming close to you in his most precious gift, the gift of the cross, to set you free to become a saint and to set you free to join him in redeeming the world. You are accomplishing your most spiritually fruitful work in your being crucified. Aren't you glad you received that gift today?
That's great. Let's get mature. We want to mature our faith, our character. I think we're born with defects, and in marriage, God uses it as a furnace. And it's good, but I think our expectations all around need to be in check.
Yep. We never stop being like shocked at the brokenness of our spouse. Like, really? You're not beyond that yet? I mean, come on. I'm not beyond that yet.
You know what it is?
We're not beyond that again yet.
What? Loving. It's loving the other in their brokenness.
Yeah. Oh, it's easy to love you when everything's just beautiful and happy and pleasant and soft and comfortable.
And you can only do that when you know you are loved by the Father, and he is, this relationship is about growing each other in holiness.
Actually, what you need is the fourth word. right?
Okay.
If you're going to get disrupted,
moving
we're moving on.
Okay.
We're up against a break. So when you're disrupted, we're praying for a disruption from just living comfortable dissipation. And so we do that through desire, seeking after that encounter with the Lord. Second, not be shocked when in fact you face the cross and self-denial and dying to self. And so you come before the Lord with holy desperation. Lord, I've got nothing. Please, I beg you, help me. You take over. Jesus, you take over. Jesus, I surrender everything to you. Take care of everything. Those are the prayers you pray out of holy desperation. But the Lord, he has power for you. He has dynamite. He has dynamism. And that's what we're going to talk about next. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. So, Carrie, we're on to the fourth word, the last word. Remember, these three moments of discipleship that we're going to live today that is going to disrupt us from living just these comfortably spiritually deflated lives and really be the saint that God calls us to be. We seek him in desire. Through that radical encounter, we experience the holy desperation, the desperation of being powerless and experiencing the cross. But the Lord doesn't leave us there. The call leads to a sense of powerlessness, which leads to empowerment, right? That's Pentecost. That's where the Holy Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit who came upon Jesus and moved him, drove him into the desert at his baptism, he comes upon us in a personal Pentecost. We are called to experience Pentecost in our lives. That happens at confirmation. So the Holy Spirit lives in us. Again, if I said, of these three moments of discipleship, which one are Catholics most in need of? Is it that radical encounter with Jesus that changes the trajectory of their lives? Is it the holy desperation of saying, I'm being crucified with Christ in the midst of this trial? Or is it the personal Pentecost that says, I now have this power within me and I will not be stopped? What's the answer, dear?
I'd say the first one, then the third one.
No, the answer is yes. It's all three.
No.
Yeah, but go ahead. It's the first one, the encounter with Christ.
I
right.
just think that's where it all starts. I'm amazed at the number of people that I run into in faith circles that are Catholic that don't have not had a real encounter. Like they can't point to any moment in their life. And I was like, oh, wow. And I feel like they're a better, like they're going to be judged less than me. It's like, wow, you actually don't have a personal walk with the Lord in a way that, and I'm not saying they don't do the sacramentals and that they don't go to church, but there's just this kind of lack of power in their life of faith where they've just been, life has just been thrown at them and they don't know how to battle. They don't know how to go to the Lord and get
And by the way, what you're
strength.
Saying, Carrie, people might say, oh gosh, that's Carrie sounding really harsh. It's actually Pope Benedict. I gave these quotes. Listen to the program
the
from
Lord.
A couple of days ago.
Yeah,
no, he talked about it. He said, without the encounter, the sacraments give us nothing. What?
Well, here's your aunt who's gone to Mass every day and just a wreck of a life. And I was like, how does she go to church every day? And yet her life, the life of her kids is just, and you see this with a lot of Protestants who leave the Catholic Church and go, yeah, then I like, quote unquote,
I found the Lord after leaving the church.
But you can see why so many Catholics have not encountered Jesus.
Well, Carrie, when you say encounter Jesus, they're encountering Jesus every time they go to communion.
Okay.
But the question is, do they come out of that reception of Christ saying, for me, life means Christ. Death is gain.
It's just such a mystery.
I long for you, Jesus. I see you all around me, and I just want to pursue you passionately with all my life energy. Please give me the grace to live in a way that glorifies you.
It's just
and it's not
a
you have to
mystery.
Say those words, but there's that sense of, you know, that they have been encountered by the Lord. The Lord has knocked down the door of their hearts. He has crashed into their lives. And it's like, you don't get it till you get it. It's like, you don't get fasting till you fast. You don't get adoration until you go to adoration and Christ breaks through. Right? You don't get it till you experience it. Right. So, but this is where Pentecost makes all the difference. This is where the power of the Holy Spirit will inflame us, make us fire, like literally fire us up to live for God in a way that goes beyond just the day-to-day aspects of discipleship.
I'm laughing because we're doing Encounter and I was reading Acts, and just the number of times where the outsiders are like, are they drunk? Are they drunk? Where's it's only 9 o'clock. How? Because the response is so radical, so over the top. And I know a lot of a few people I run around with are like, oh, you don't want to be too emotional. You don't want to be too radical. I'm like, why? He's our creator. He's our God. And we're living life with our heads down, trying to figure out how to, I don't know, pay bills, buy presents, go on a trip, where whole eternity is at stake. Our whole life for all eternity is at stake. And yet we're just busy about our lives here on earth. And I just love Acts. I just love reading. And I guess that when I read it, I'm also convicted, like, Lord, I've settled. I still put you in a box. I don't want to live this crazy. I don't want to be the radical,
Catholic. One of the passages that I find so striking is it's in either Acts 6 or Acts 8. And it's after it's the persecution of the Christians start after the stoning of Stephen. And it said that the Christians who fled because of the persecution, they went about proclaiming. They fled and they didn't hide. They fled and they started evangelizing. Isn't that amazing?
They just kept going. They so much fire.
Could not be stopped. Could not be stopped. It's like, this is what life is about. And brothers and sisters, like all the stuff that's around us, like the car that's right there, the house that's right there, the stuff, the bank account, all this other stuff, it's all dissolving. It's all dissolving. What doesn't dissolve is our relationship with the Lord.
It's all a distraction. Honestly, it's like
our phone. The phones are just such a waste.
When are we going
wasting our lives? Stop.
You know what?
No, live those power of the Holy Spirit stuff. Okay, so for me, Carrie, it was November 1st, 1984.
For your birthday.
Okay. Just like I remember when I had that encounter with Christ, it was in the summer of 1983, where I went to my pastor and I had that encounter with Christ, that radical encounter. I know that. I also know the day where I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, where the Pentecost that was given to me in my confirmation was released. It was November 1st, 1984. It was at a church in Waltham, Massachusetts. I had gone to the All Saints Day Mass at the cathedral. Afterwards, I went to the young adult prayer group and had the priest and the lay leader. They prayed with my brother George, me, Father Mark DeVellis, and a few others, and prayed over us for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I had this experience of a release of the Holy Spirit and an empowerment of the Holy Spirit that I had never experienced before.
Did you even think it was possible?
I had no idea. I mean, you know, people heard about it, Life in the Spirit seminar, and they talked about it. And the charismatic gifts of the Spirit.
When you read Acts, were you like, wait, why am I not?
Didn't get it. Didn't get it till it happened.
Okay.
Didn't get it till it happened. All of a sudden, it was like, wait a minute now. I thought I had a passion to talk about Jesus and share the faith. No. Now there was this dynamism, this dunamis power. There was this sense of, I'm now going to pray with expectant faith.
Explosive.
I'm going to move explosive. And here's the thing. It's funny. There was a very mature spiritual leader down from the Covenant community in the City of the Lord down in Phoenix. I was down there doing talks for diocese or whatever. And he came up to me after one of the talks and he said, the fundamental difference that I experience in working with church leaders all around the diocese is that I can tell almost in the first minute whether or not they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, just by what they emphasize, how they will pray at the beginning of a meeting, what they talk about, what their sense of expectation is. He said, it's just so different.
Do you think that we're saying that we're doing this on your birthday, that this, I feel like this is a peg in the ground. I feel like we're here in this new area. We've talked about the Holy Spirit, but I've never seen such a huge emphasis on encounter and having priests give talks and having leadership of the diocese.
Bishop going all in saying,
I just feel like there's a new, God had something new for our go-go years. And I really believe it's the Holy Spirit, because even I talking to you about, we don't pray as a couple. We pray the rosary together. We go to adoration together. We do mass together, but we don't actually, and you will pray with me, but we don't
Seek the Lord
together.
We don't
seek the Lord, intercede, put our here's our five concerns right now for today. Every day has new ones.
My prayer is being answered. My prayer is being answered. This is my gift.
Honestly, I have no idea what to get you for your birthday. And I've been like, I sent a photo of you sitting all by yourself at the breakfast table. The girls were busy. We didn't even decorate the table for you. We have these huge rituals we do and nothing. And I told you, I say, I feel so flat. Like, I don't know. But I'm like, the Lord is bringing you a supernatural, spiritual gift.
Here's a birthday gift for me.
And it's going to blow your mind. And I've surrendered. I'm like, Lord, I have nothing. I'm desperate. I have nothing to give my husband. I don't know what to do. I just feel a little lost and flat. But now as we're sharing this and talking about this, weren't your ears burning? I just feel this burning sensation of God is doing something that we're in the midst of when we will look back and go, wow.
Amen. So brothers and sisters, pray for a personal Pentecost. Ask St. Philip Neri to pray with you and for you. That Lord, please set free the Holy Spirit of Pentecost in me. Holy Spirit, come and make me a fire. Holy Spirit, make me alive with Pentecost. Make that your prayer. Dunamis, you'll have new power in your spiritual life. Carrie, believe it or not, we are out of time. Isn't that cool? What a great gift.
I can keep going.
Pray, disrupt, desire, desperation, and dynamism. All right. God bless, guys. Join me on Monday.